Welcome to Awakening Plus. It is December 28, 2023, our final event of the year. It's Ask Us Anything. And so far, we've got three folks in the room, and that's enough to get started. And as we begin, I'll just briefly set up a nice container for us. So you'll hang out a minute while I do that. Allies, please come. Don't be shy. Come on in. Oh, they want me to sing the directions. Pachama. Mama Kia. Wiracocham. Inti Quiti. Allies, please come. That's more like it. Thank you. Thank you, allies. Please create a sacred container to hold in this good energy and to ensure that all that enters here is of high vibration and benevolent intent. All righty, good. Well, welcome to Viorica and Laura and Marla. And again, here it is, the week between Christmas and New Year. So it might be a light turnout, but that just leaves more time for y'all's questions. So anyone who has a question, feel free to unmute and speak, and we'll do our best to answer them. Viorica, you got one?
Yes. I got one. I don't know about the energetic body or what's the first layer of our body.
Energetically?
We have physical body and energetic body. Which one?
I see your question. Okay. I think of them like nesting dolls. The innermost body is physical. Then the first layer beyond that is the emotional body. And then comes the mental body. And then all the spiritual bodies are beyond that.
Okay. You said, do you feel your body? Which one do you refer to?
Well, usually when you say body, that's a reference to the physical body.
Yes. And after, around it, it's not the light body. The light body is Merkaba, no?
Well, Merkaba is a specialized body that I think not everyone has, but can be built or constructed. That's my understanding. But again, the basic breakdown, as I said, is physical, and then around that, emotional body, and then mental body, and then all the spiritual bodies after that. That's my current understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a helpful answer, Federica?
Yeah, kind of. Mm-hmm.
Does it? Why are you
somebody
asking?
Said it's 18 inches around you.
Well, the size depends on your consciousness. Some people have really tiny little bodies, some have really huge bodies. It just depends on how much consciousness you have, how big the light bodies get.
Yeah, that's aura, no?
Yeah. The aura is just if you what you're able to see with your psychic sight around the person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. I hope that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
yeah.
Laura, did you have some? I'm sorry.
Yeah, because okay, this is interesting because I know you ask us to like check in with how our body feels, so I check in, you know, inside the shell that feels like my body, and then you're like, okay, now check out your energy body. And so what I'm feeling for is I can usually feel something like around the edge of my skin, and so that's what I kind of tune into. So is that's the energy? That's what you mean by checking our energy body, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. In Awakening Plus, my philosophy is always how simple can I make it and still have it work? And of course, you can get onto all this esoteric subtlety about all the bodies and the subtle layers of them and all that. And when I teach, I try to keep it really simple. I just talk about the physical body and then the energy body around it and keep it that simple, which for most of what we do is sufficient explanation. But there are definitely esoteric teachings that talk about all the subtle layers of energy bodies, and there's massive numbers of them. And I just choose not to get into all that because I teach a little bit simpler approach to all this stuff. But you can get into
Thank
all that complexity if you want to, for sure.
you. No, thank you. But okay, so when we're talking about the light body, we're talking about the energy that we sense around our physical bodies, correct?
That is what I mean, yes.
Okay, cool. Does that help, Yorika?
I've lost you guys.
You
Oh, you've
lost us?
lost
You mean you
us?
could not hear us, or you couldn't understand us?
I lost the thing on the computer.
Oh, you
I
couldn't
can't.
hear us. Okay.
Yeah,
All
and
right.
I
Well,
was.
did we answer your question satisfactorily, Viorica?
It's okay. Don't worry. I'll
Okay.
find something.
Okay, cool. All right. I'm sorry if that wasn't what you were looking for.
Oh, cool.
Okay, who else has got a question? Marla, you got something?
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, I've kind of been wondering about like obsessive thinking and like chronic compulsive thinking.
Have you been
And
thinking
I
about
mean,
that obsessively?
pardon?
Have you been thinking about that
Yes, I haven't. I
obsessively?
can't stop. I can't stop the thoughts. I can stop the thoughts.
Okay.
And I use the, sometimes I use that balcony technique, and then I just like come back to my breath. I do that, all the ways that, we interrupt the thoughts by like doing something physical. I guess I'm kind of wondering about an invocation to help me with that, so that, because it feels like I'm exerting a lot of effort in the thinking and then in stopping the thinking. So this constant like, oh, don't do that. Oh yeah, okay, no, I'm not doing that. I'm here now. That's like, blah, 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 blah. Like it's so.
Actually, I had an incident of that earlier today I'll comment on. But basically, the again, if the two-story thought house invocation isn't doing it, you could, I mean, one approach is to just do embodied awakening, which theoretically, if it's all there, should stop that, because if your higher self is fully present, it doesn't do mental chatter.
Right.
But you could also custom invocation, maximum clear, spacious mind that serves highest good is another.
Oh, I like that. Maximum clear and spacious mind that
Uh,
serves me as good. Okay.
but uh, you know, now that I basically see reality in terms of my parts and myself. Earlier there's a progressive rock artist I love named David Maxim Mitchick, and I was listening to his latest album, and there's this one song called Cry that just has an amazing melody, right? It's like, and I was out on a walk today in the woods, and I was trying to be with this, and this song just keeps playing endlessly in my head. And part of me is wishing, I wish that song would stop so I could just pay attention to the head, to the woods rather. And then I thought, well, actually, this is just a part of me grooving on the song. And so I said to the part, you know what? You can play that song for yourself all you want. It was kind of playing in my mind. And I said, just go for it. Enjoy yourself. And I may hear you in the background, but I'll notice that you're doing that back there. But I, rest of me is going to be enjoying the woods. So what I did is I stopped resisting the loop and let it be there. But I just, let that part run its thing and just put my attention elsewhere. And what I found, and actually I didn't think about it, but after a while, I think the song just faded out because I wasn't focusing on it and I wasn't fighting it. So another approach that might be interesting is say, okay, a part of me is obsessing on this thought, but all of you isn't, right? And say that part, you know what? You just go ahead and just run that thought all you want. You have my blessed consent. Go ahead. But the rest of me is going to be putting our attention elsewhere. We need to have attention somewhere else. And by blessing the part and letting it, and then you just focus elsewhere. And the thought may be there in the background, but it'll be kind of quieter. It'll be kind of fuzzier. It won't be quite as central. So I think in a lot of cases, the fighting of it is what, keeps feeding it energy.
Yeah, I think that's very accurate. I
So that
really feel that.
might be worth a shot and see what happens. Just say, okay, you go ahead and think that, go for it. You got free will, go ahead. And the rest of me though is going to be putting our attention on something else.
Thank you, Benjamin.
So it worked for a song, so it might work for thoughts too.
Right, and I guess I kind of have like a little bit more of a question there.
Okay, go ahead.
Just let me see for a second here. So it seems like I might have to do that really regularly. And I guess I just want to kind of accept that. Like it seems like when it comes back into the forefront and it kind of grabs my attention, the thinking thought, and then that's happening. And then I can do the, okay, well, wait, okay, you're there, you do your thing. And then I come back to the larger part of me. And so if that happens throughout the day, again and again, which it more or less does, I just kind of need to not be at war with that within myself as well. It's like, okay, you're doing that thing and now you're coming back. Okay.
And one could, if it becomes a chronic problem, that and your this approach isn't satisfactory, you could then do some IFS work and call out the part that's doing this. Say, let's have a chat. Why are you focusing on this thought? Why is this so
Right.
important to you to keep replaying it? And it might be nice to do a little self-guided IFS round, use the course in the membership or whatever, and see if you can understand why it's running the thought, and then maybe you can unburden it, and then it won't have to think the thought so much anymore.
Okay, I like that too. I haven't done that course yet. I keep thinking like I should do that course. So I think I'm gonna take it there because I haven't tried the IFS. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I'll just tell you, not to blow my own horn, but I've had more than one member who's never done a private session with me ever say, I just had the most powerful healing of my life by doing that course.
Okay, great.
So I've
That
had
sounds
some
good.
really good feedback on it.
Awesome. Happy to be here tonight.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here too. All right, good juicy questions. Thank you. All right, who else has got a question? Laura, you're the only one who hasn't popped in with a question of your own. Did you have any questions tonight? I'll take that for a no. So, Marla, Viorica, if either of you has any additional questions, pop them out. I'm happy to hang out for a while with questions, but if we run out, we could just call it early and have this be a short session. In the survey, a lot of members say, hey, let's do sometimes a 30 or 45 minute event instead of always going 60 or 90 minutes. So this could be a shorter event if y'all run out of queries. But I'm happy to hang around a while as well. So anyone else got a question? Virika, go ahead.
Yeah. So, in my understanding, it means you can ask everything, anything, for healing. That makes sense, of course. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Now again, you don't know, there's no guarantee that the healing will happen, but it doesn't hurt
I
to
know.
try and give your higher self its best shot at helping you out.
It's 6:15.
Yeah. So.
I like to say fortune favors the bold. So if there's possibly a way my higher self or my Alice can help me, I'm all about asking them and giving them every chance to help me.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I need it now. I need more than anything else.
Okay, me too. So yeah, I every day I sit at my mace and I actually raise grandfather tobacco on two sides specifically for optimal health. So you can take it for granted sometimes early in your life, but I'm in my 60s and it takes constant maintenance now. So I hear you.
So, allies, it's only yours, or I can call on my own allies too.
Sure. Call on whatever divine beings you want.
Okay.
I encourage you to be, experiment. Call your higher self, call your allies, just as long as it's a love and light thing, go for it and see what happens. The way you get good at stuff is you try things.
Okay.
What I teach here is, My own bias is I want to give the most concise and helpful distillation that makes this stuff as easy as possible to do. So I've very consciously stripped it down and streamlined it as much as possible. But if you prefer to try something different or a different phrasing, go for it. You know, try stuff and see what works. You know, it's a free will zone and you're welcome to do what you want.
Okay,
Yeah.
thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm using every day the invocations since I got the book, and even I make a document with what I need sometimes with
Good deal.
chakras or whatever I need. Yeah,
Excellent.
I love your book. It was nice,
Well, thank you. I'm
good
glad it's helpful.
structures and yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I'm so happy I found you after 2 years.
Yeah. Well, if that can be of service, I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you. I
Okay.
have another question, actually.
Go ahead, Marla.
Do you know much about the idea of codependency? Have you heard people talk much about this, or you know of it?
I'll have to ask Spirit Song if I can talk about that.
Okay. Very good.
I know a little bit about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I guess it's coming into sort of my awareness of how codependency has played a factor in a lot of my experiences with other people. Essentially experiencing at it like for me, it's a lot of the control sides of it, like wanting to make things better for another person and becoming kind of obsessed of their needs and their well-being and taking care of them and making things better for them. So how can I mean, I am working at this in my own way, like doing some, recovery work around that. But I'm wondering from like your perspective and the shamanic perspective, or maybe working with invocations, how can the patterns of codependency be healed?
There's a lot of ways to approach that, and you know, depending on the nature of the codependency, you would maybe do different things. What comes to mind right away is to say, may all cords and connections between me and this person that do not serve highest good be cut. And this is good to do even with someone you have a wonderful relationship with, because you don't want connections that don't serve highest good. And when I've done this, like with clients, you know, sometimes hundreds of cords are like instantaneously cut, you know. So that's a good way to start, to just ask for the release of the energetic connections that don't serve highest good and leave that up to your higher self. You don't have to specify them, and just wait. And then once the cords are cut, you can say, okay, now please, you know, seal and, you know, heal the openings, so there's a nice clean field. That's one energetic thing you can do. Also, if you want to use IFS, just notice, you know, if you're awake enough to notice parts of you being codependent, as it were. Usually it's younger parts, because when we're young, of course, if we don't please our caregivers, then we could die, right? So as a young child, we'll literally do anything to survive, and whatever we have to do to survive, we will do. And many of us carry that, you know, heavy dependency into adulthood too. So just notice, if you're doing a behavior that doesn't serve you, there's a very good chance you've got a wounded part that's driving that behavior. And then if you can do IFS on that part, connect with it, you know, do the whole process like is in the course, then sometimes that can really help with a particular codependency issue. If you want to keep it even simpler, you could just say your higher self, okay, higher self, please clear all energies of codependence that do not serve highest good. And just relax and see what happens. So that can be helpful too. So that gives you know, several different approaches you could use toward that.
Thank you.
I would definitely suggest constant mindfulness of that. It sounds like you're pretty mindful already. And if you find yourself doing it anyway after you're conscious of it, then at that point, if a simple invocation doesn't work, I would do an IFS and get to the part that's driving the codependent behavior and see if you can unburden it and reintegrate it.
Thank you. I'm going to make some notes.
Would be my own approach. Yeah.
Awesome. That's very helpful. Thanks so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Some good questions tonight. Who else has got one? You got one, Viorica?
I got IFS documents from 2 years ago, I think. I found some PDFs and the book and whatever you had for IFS
Yeah.
from last time, yes. So we are doing sometimes like a session to see how it is.
So
We
you're
did
not a
last time.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said we did like 2 years ago. I think I was one of them.
Oh,
And,
yeah, we are doing more IFS than ever, actually. We
okay.
sometimes do an IFS discussion. Sometimes we're doing hot seat where people get in the hot seat and I do full IFS rounds with them while others hold space. Yeah, we're doing a decent amount of IFS.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So that's back on the agenda now. It was a lull for 2 years, but it's back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, who else got a question? Nobody?
Thinking.
Okay. Laura, Marla, anything from either of you folks?
I'm still thinking.
Okay, well, we'll leave a little thought moment here.
Oh, you said you have a second book. I tried to find it on Amazon, but I
Oh,
didn't
no,
get it.
I've only written one.
Okay.
There is an imposter book with the same title with a different author. Don't buy that one. Someone pirated my book and gave it exactly the same title, but put a different author name and a different cover. So I can't get Amazon to take it down, so I just have to live with it. But no, there's three more books I'd like to write that are already in my mind, but nothing beyond the first one is actually in print right now.
Well, okay. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. All right, last call.
I have a question bubbling up. I
Okay.
don't have it fully formed.
Okay.
It's something about like I can have it. I have a tendency to drift in my mind or get involved in fantasies or daydreams and things like that in my mind.
Sure.
And like part of me wonders about clairvoyance and maybe not. Like there, it feels like there's like something in my that my head is trying to do in terms of showing me something,
Right.
but it's like not fully formed in terms of my skill of clairvoyance. So this like image generator in my head is just kind of like out of control, it seems. So I guess I'm wondering something about like developing clairvoyance and any practices around that. If you have like a very like I have an incredibly vivid like inner world and a vivid imagination my whole life since I was a child. So I was like very terrified as a child because it was very real. And even as an adult, you know, that's it's a very real motivator for me of what I can conjure in my mind. But it seems like it could be a problem because it's not reality. So then I'm trying to like bridge, like, do I have some kind of gift that is just like malfunctioning? I don't, so
All
my
right,
question,
so
yeah.
let me inquire into that a little bit. First, I believe imagination is another level of reality. You know, this 3D is not any more real than any other level, really. I mean, I learned long ago that at least I was shown that the only fundamental reality is unity. But anything that comes into any kind of form is illusion. So it's all relatively illusory, you know, even here. So I'm curious, have you ever had true clairvoyance where you were perceiving the inner world with your third eye, where you could actually see spiritual things happening? Has that ever happened?
Do you mean like I saw something and then it happened?
No. I mean, did you like when I lead Awakening Plus events, I am clairvoyantly perceiving what's happening with the person we're working with or what's happening in our group field. You know, I have actual perception of that. I'm curious, do you have that ability ever to, you know, see, perceive what's happening in a spiritual process?
Yes, I have had that experience before.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that is clairvoyance.
Right.
Clairvoyance is simply inner sight. So you do have clairvoyance at least sometimes, right?
Right.
But the fantasizing is, it's, I'm getting the impression from what you're saying that it kind of runs on its own. It's not like you're conjuring up imagery. The imagery is just there.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you perceive that to be delightful or annoying, or what's your general response to the imagery that has to come up on its own?
Sometimes it's delightful, but mostly the challenge with it is that it generates emotions, and a
Okay.
lot of them are unpleasant because they end up generating anxiety or guilt,
Oh, okay.
or like does that make sense?
Yeah. I wonder if that is wounded parts generating the imagery to get your attention.
I think probably it is like that when you say that it feels real. So it's probably, I feel like the answer to all of my questions is IFS.
It certainly keeps pointing back that way.
I'm
You might.
getting a message tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, I was wondering if it was going in an artistic direction. I mean, what came to mind is something I read, a fantasy author who had written some fantasy books and then for a few years didn't write in the series. And then he started writing again, and in his imagination, he discovered that the years he had taken off, his fantasy world had gone on by itself, and he was picking up, and oh my God, years have passed and all this stuff has happened. I wasn't noticing, right? So it's
Wow.
almost like he wasn't conjuring imagination, he was like reporting on this other reality that he was tuning into clairvoyantly.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of creative folks say, I'm not making this shit up. It's just coming to me on its own and I'm just catching it, right?
Yeah, I do have that experience. Like as an artist, as a writer, as a puppeteer, like I make music, so I get a lot of like a rush of like, oh, it's this, it's this, it's this.
Yeah, in
But then when I'm
astrology.
not putting it out, then it's like it just kind of stays in there. It's like,
Right, so
oh.
it's asking to be expressed, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is your perhaps calling as a creative person, is you're being fed the inspiration, and the source of the inspiration is hoping that you'll manifest it into the world so others can enjoy it too.
Right. Okay. Sounds
And
awesome when you say it.
what I'd
Like,
recommend is
focus.
if you can't express it promptly after it comes, at least, you know, take notes or sketch it or capture it the best you can, whatever form, for later development. And a lot of creative types notice that once they've captured the idea in some kind of form outside their brain, then it stops repeating in their brain. So maybe you should set up a routine of idea capture when those things pop in, and in whatever format is most appropriate for catching the idea, and see once you've captured it if the obsessive, you know, repetition of the inspiration stops.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you.
Yeah, that's the basis of what, where did I read into this a while back. Oh yeah, it was actually the Getting Things Done book. Which is one of the absolute best books on organization there is. I forget the author, but this is like an absolute classic of the business world. He says you need to have some kind of system where when the ideas come in, you capture them. And he says once you capture them, they stop floating around in your brain endlessly, you know? And I use Trello for that. You know, I have, I don't know if you know what Trello is, but it's a basically it's a pretty multi-layered idea capture system. You know, way more than just catching notes. But, you know, once I put something in Trello, it doesn't stay in my brain anymore. And you could pick up some kind of comparable creative capture system to catch the ideas and at least, you know, catch them in something in the physical world and then just see if they don't stop running. Yeah.
And then if I feel like, because sometimes I feel like it's too many ideas.
Well, that is common. If I don't remember your chart, but I'd bet you have a lot of Neptune or Pisces or 12th house kind of energy. That's the astrological energy of that download of endless creativity. So it is a common having with all the thousands of astrology readings I've done, it is very common for people who are wired up like that to have way more creativity than they can express. And what I suggest to them is, well, just feel into which one is the most exciting to you. Which one do you feel the most excited about expressing, and get those, just accept as a given. I'm never going to be able to express it all, and that's just the way it is, and I can be peaceful with that. But let me make as much time as I can to express the ones that are really the most juicy and really want to come out the most.
Yeah,
Is
thank you. Okay,
yeah.
I'm gonna make some notes.
Okay, cool. And I'll this will be a posted event too, so you can, catch it later if you need to. Okay, creativity, note taking, capture ideas. Okay, good. Well, that's beautiful. I'm glad we have that discussion. Okay. Anything else on that? All right, good stuff, Marla. Okay, so anyone else got a question? Viorica, you don't have to raise your hand, just talk.
Yeah. I think what Marla said before, I have the same like kind of clairvoyance coming up. I don't know.
That's cool. Is do you find that helpful to be able to do that?
Yeah, I enjoy that actually.
Oh, cool.
Sometimes I get images
Sure.
and I see something and I said, okay. Or something is popping up in my mind. I said, okay. So thank you.
Good. So that's comfort, that's in flow. There's no concerns you have about that that you need to ask about.
No.
Okay, cool. Well, if you're comfortable with it, that's great.
Why not?
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of psychic, there's all they call them the clairs, clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. Yeah. So what I found is, I didn't used to have any of that. But as I've progressively awakened, those gifts have just sort of come online as byproducts of the awakening. And they've also come online because I've needed them to do the service that I give and things like Awakening Plus. So one good way to call forth the development of those things is do something that requires you to have that talent, and then you're serving in that way the best you can will create a greater need for that particular clair, and then it can come, it'll probably come up quicker because the urologist can see she, they need that gift. We need to turn that on a little faster for them,
Okay.
So that can be helpful. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else got anything?
I kind of have a general curiosity.
Okay, go ahead.
It's about how you spent many years as a singer-songwriter, right? And then, so did you write original music and then you like learn spiritual songs, or can you tell me a little bit about your musical journey?
Well, first I was an electronic musician. Well, just to give the quick background, I started piano lessons at 9 years old, did that for 3 years, and then I switched to classical guitar at age 12 and learned tons of classical music on the guitar. Then later started playing steel string. That was in my 30s, I guess, and started having aspirations to be a singer-songwriter in my 30s. And did that professionally for about 5 years. At the age of 41, I moved to Asheville, North Carolina, where I live now, and for 5 years tried to make it as a professional singer-songwriter and never made any money to speak of. I mean, it was a futile effort economically, but good growth personally. And then I transitioned into other things. But then and actually after I hung up the guitar, I actually didn't even do music for years. What happened is in trying to make a commercial success of myself as a musician, I burned out and just lost all desire to do it. I just ruined it for myself by trying to commercialize it. And I sold all my guitars. I didn't think I would even ever play a guitar again. And it wasn't until a few years ago doing ayahuasca ceremonies with a shaman who his path. He loves everyone to sing. And the last third of his 7 or 8 hour ceremony is basically a big open mic where anyone who wants to sing a song sings a song. Okay. And I did sing a little a cappella with a rattle and stuff. And when he discovered that I had been a professional guitarist, he said, "Benjamin, you've got to play guitar." Right. And I didn't even have a guitar. Right. So I had to, as this happened, Spirit Song had kept one of my old guitars and we were back together. So she gave me that guitar back and I started playing it again. But at that point and from then on, the only interest I've had is using music for spiritual purposes. I no longer have any desire. In fact, I even got an offer a few weeks ago. "Oh, would you like to come do a gig?" And I said, "I have no interest in going out and gigging professionally as a professional musician. I'm happy to sing or perform, sacred songs in English or other languages for the purpose of moving consciousness and, making good energy movement. But I have no interest in commercializing it." So now I can very happily create music for that purpose, and I basically just become a spiritual musician now. That's my only interest, really. Is that an
Right.
answer to your question?
Yeah, that's very interesting to me. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's a powerful message too that when we try to really commercialize things in some cases, that burnout can happen in that way.
Yeah. Now
That's
it worked for Taylor Swift.
it works for Taylor Swift, right? So it does work sometimes.
No,
Interesting.
for some people, what I learned in my years, because I didn't just do it. So I went to gatherings 2 or 3 times a year. I would go to professional conferences for acoustic singer-songwriters and tried to learn the ropes on the business side. And my own observation was in talking to people who are actually making a living at it. They were professional musicians because they had to be. I mean, I heard more than one of them say, "If I wasn't a professional musician, I would kill myself." The drive was that strong, So, what I observed is the ones who succeeded were the ones who they basically incarnated to do that. That was their sole purpose. Okay. For me, it was a desire, but not an actual need. And what I discovered was that desire was not enough to keep me with it. It's just too hard. It is so hard to make a it's gotten even harder since then, because now you really can't make any money from album sales. You gotta, streaming for most people doesn't pay anything. So they've got to make all their money through gigs, right? So basically anyone who's doing well as a musician, with few exceptions, is someone who's out there touring a lot, right? So I'm really glad I don't have to do that. I get to stay at home and do Awakening Plus, and I really hardly ever have to leave the house if I don't want to. And I'm a happy homebody.
You ever do like in-person spiritual song groups where you live?
Actually, yeah, it's usually with the people I drink ayahuasca with. Every so often we get together, not to drink ayahuasca, but just to get together for a potluck for a couple hours, and then we sing songs for a couple of just, whoever wants to sing a song, they can either, make it a sing along so everyone can join or do a little performance. And we just kind of, let people take turns singing just for the pleasure of the company and the sharing of music.
Ooh,
So yeah,
beautiful.
we do that once in a while.
Nice.
Yeah. Does that cover your question?
Yeah, it does.
Very
Thank you.
cool. I noticed that Annie has joined us. Welcome, Annie. How you doing? So Annie is still muted. So Annie, we've got a small crew here tonight, and if you have a question, everyone else has asked bunches of questions. So if you have one, feel free to pop up and ask your question. And if you don't have one, that's fine too.
I'm just shifting channels. I hadn't pre-thought.
And no pressure. If you don't have one, there's no requirement to have one. Just show up at it and ask us anything.
Oh, what technique do you use when something happens currently and you know the spiritual intelligence would say drop it and drop it fast, right? Because We're not in anyone else's business and what they say and do, fine. And so what do you, well, maybe you don't get the challenge anymore, though.
Could you give me an example?
Well, somebody just says something, a side swipe with speech.
Oh, you mean like you. Someone did something that offended me?
Yeah. And they know they're doing it. It's not like.
Oh, yeah. So someone is deliberately being unpleasant?
Right. The opposite of ahimsa, do no harm.
Okay, got it. Okay. That, to be honest, that rarely happens to me anymore because I'm now very picky about who I spend time with or communicate with.
Yeah.
But I do have that happen sometimes. My usual, if possible, if I can see it's a person that is just really, there's not much chance they're going to become reasonable or pleasant or whatever, I usually just withdraw, frankly. I'm way past the point in life where I try to correct them or tell them, oh, you're behaving poorly or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't either. Oops.
Yeah. So usually I politely withdraw and just, you know, go somewhere else, like if it's at a party or something. And there's even some people that, you know, I had been close with for a while. And if I see that their energy is basically not right for me, I just choose to not communicate or communicate very selectively when necessary.
Yeah.
So my basic pattern is, you know, don't engage at all or engage minimally if I have to. And if I must, like I work with a lot of clients who, like, they go to work and there's toxic people there and they have to go to work. There's no avoiding it. I suggest that they view it as part of their spiritual work. I say, okay, there's a very good chance this person is going to do something that's going to stir up some of your unhealed trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore be ready for that. Don't be surprised because it's likely. And just, you know, try to go in an awakened state. And if you do get triggered, say, okay, that person has done me a favor by showing me where I need to do some healing.
Yeah.
And I view the person as a helpful catalyst to show where the work needs. And then, you know, as soon as they can, do the whatever healing modality they can to clear that trauma. So, I love the Law of One teaching about that. That's channel material I really like, where they say, you know, every light worker tends to attract people on the dark side, or as they say, service to self people, who will try to take advantage of you the best they can. And the only way they can do that is by taking advantage of some weakness or wound you have. So these people are very good at showing you where you need to work. And if you view them as your, in my book, I call them adversarial allies.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent term. I'm still lit because I'm doing the work and the process.
Uh-huh.
And I gave the book to my son. I just said, just read it and then talk to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there is that. So it does make a quicker return with letting go.
Mm-hmm.
The frustrating part is, I live with this person.
Okay. So there's no avoiding them and there's going to be challenging catalysts then.
Yeah.
So, so just say, okay, as long as I'm with this person, then there will be challenging catalysts. It's part of the package. So in that case, my own approach would be, okay, how can I start every day and be as awakened as I can, maximize my awakening, because that means that I'll get less triggered by the catalyst. And then also, if I'm awake, then I'll be mindful enough to see what's happening and work with it more skillfully. It's also possible, I mean, you could just do a healing invocation. Again, just with the technologies that I offer, a healing invocation might clear it, or you might discover that a wounded part of you is coming up and getting triggered. Some part of you that got traumatized earlier in life or in a past life, and it's the part that's responding. And then you could do IFS work on it.
Yeah.
Again, we have the Course Inside Awakening Plus self-guided IFS that you could use to deal with that part. So, you know, my theory is that if there were a being on the planet who had no trauma at all, literally nothing would bother them. No catalyst would be able to get a rise out of them because they're fully healed and there's nothing to provoke, you know? So I don't know any such
people. But even Jesus got provoked. So
So I don't know if Jesus was of that nature or not. But
yeah.
But that's the theory, and I hope that discussion is helpful around the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
You're welcome.
That's what I figured. It doesn't happen to you anymore.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. In fact, I have a family member who triggers me massively, and you know, since they don't seem to be inclined to change their behavior, I just choose to minimally interact with that family member.
Yeah.
So
that's wise. I do basically the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I stay quiet. There's no pushback, and then I get up here and do the work.
Yeah, that's wise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, we're adults. We get to choose who we interact with and who we don't. So, you know, I like to say hang out with the people who are positive influences and try to minimize contact with those who aren't. And if you've got to interact with someone who's challenging, then the things I described earlier might be helpful and worth a try.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Anyone else got a question?
Well, Annie sort of made me think of a question. So when a person is provoked, or when I am provoked,
mm-hmm.
or I guess another word is triggered, it mm-hmm. really is a call to attend to the wounded part,
mm-hmm.
generally speaking, would you say?
Well, you can do as anything you like, but I think that is the most helpful way to respond to it.
And if I, and then if there's someone in my life who I notice is provoked,
mm-hmm.
then that's just like on, that's for them to deal with. This is kind of getting back to the codependent part, actually.
Right, right. You're not responsible for their emotions.
Yeah, I'm not responsible for their emotions, though I have to be caring. I can't go just being provoked and then provoking other people or triggered and triggering other people. But if they want to attend to their wound, that's their own choice. I can't make them attend to their wound through my subtle manipulation or charm, as I like to think I can.
Well, you can try, but it'll work or it won't.
Like, I have to surrender that part to God and then just, you know, or to my own higher power, but or their higher power. Like, I'm not trying to mess. I can't be messing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can certainly, if that person is really central in your life, if you were to offer such an input, the way I would do it is say, hey, I have an idea that might be helpful to you with this challenge we're having. Would you be open to hearing about it?
Right.
And if they said right. yes, then you could share whatever thoughts you had about how they could do their trauma healing better. But
yeah.
My experience has been people are ready for that or they're not. And, you know, and if they're not ready to do their inner work, then there's very little chance you're going to coerce them into it, you know.
Exactly. And then it's just my responsibility to come back to my inner work.
Yeah.
And that's what my responsibility is.
And is this a person you're like in a relationship with?
Not now. No.
Okay.
But generally that is the situation.
Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I literally know people who have met people and they identify, oh my God, this person is my soulmate. And we came to be together and they tried to have a relationship and discovered they couldn't because that person was not able or willing to do their personal work. And they had to release the relationship, even though these two souls were, you know, on schedule to be together in this lifetime. But if one of them wasn't ponying up, they couldn't do it. And I know another person who did stay with a person who was not doing their work. And, you know, was suffering tremendously by choosing to remain in the partnership. You know, she was trying to save the partner and he was literally beating her up, you know, and she stayed. So I've seen people take all sorts of choices and it's not for me to judge what a person should or shouldn't do. But my own attitude, you know, my own bias is let's not stay with a person who's not good for you and is not supporting you energetically and is not, especially, you know, I'm in a unique position because, you know, as an astrologer, I've done over 10,000 readings. I've seen a lot of people that told me their relationship stories. And a frequent story is I'm awakening and growing and my partner isn't interested or I'm healing and doing my personal work and they're not. And inevitably the person doing the work, you know, outdistances the other person energetically. And the more the one grows and the other one doesn't, the greater the distance becomes between them energetically. And the mean, you know, the connection diminishes because the vibrations are shifting so much. You know, the one is at a significantly higher vibration than the other, and there's less resonance, you know, just energetically between them because of that. And some people can make that work, but most eventually say, I've got to release this person because I can't let them hold me back. And in terms of your own behavior influencing them, you know, sometimes, and this tends to work one of two ways. One is one partner gets heavy duty on their healing and awakening path, and they start growing and evolving quickly. And sometimes that can inspire the other person to do their own work too. So your example is all that's needed for that person to get on board and start their own process. But there's also times when the person, you know, doubles down and trenches into their thing. And very often they'll start sniping at the person who's growing and say, you shouldn't do that. You're not being loyal to me, you know, or tell them they're crazy or stupid, or, you know, giving them negative feedback on what they're doing. Because their dark entities get all stirred up and, you know, cause certain behaviors. So, you know, my own bias again is if a person is on the path of healing and awakening, I don't think there's anything more important than that. And if you need to release a person to move deeper on your path, then I think that's the right choice a lot of the time. But again, that's my own bias. You know, I have a little joke. I say, if you're serious about awakening, it only requires one thing. And the answer is everything. So anything in life that needs to be adjusted to accommodate that awakening path, you adjust. And when that really becomes the high priority, there's nothing else that matters as much. And you will release anything without exception that doesn't support the awakening path. Now, many people are not ready for a path of that extremity. But the rewards are very rich if one is so inclined. But again, not all of us come to make that top priority. For some, certain relationships are the big deal. So, you know, I'm just speaking to my own choice and bias on this path, but I completely honor and respect people who make different choices. And it is certainly not my job to tell anyone else what they should or should not be doing. You know, I believe that the law of love and light, the path of service to other, allows free choice to all and lets people do what they need to do. You know, as a person who's here as a way shower or someone who's trying to help out, you can offer, like you, Marla, could offer your artistry and your wisdom and just say, you know, those who are ready will take it and those who aren't will find something else. You never coerce or force. You just offer and those who are ready take it. And I see you're muted. So Oh, there you go. Okay. So I just, that was a big riff, but I hope some of that was relevant and helpful.
It was very relevant, very helpful. Thank you. And thank you, Annie, too, for starting up that conversation.
Yeah. All right. Who else has got a question?
Me.
Okay, go ahead.
What do you know about the women group?
Say again, what do I know about what?
The women group.
Oh, the new one we're starting?
Yes.
Well, actually, Laura left. She's going to facilitate. She was on here, but I think she dropped off. So what's happening is there's definitely a lot of interest in it. A lot of folks said they wanted to join it. So once the survey closes tomorrow on Friday, the 29th, we will email all the people who expressed interest and see, you know, if there's a night that is better for them. And then we'll put that on the schedule in January and see what happens. This will be the first Awakening Plus event I will have nothing to do with. Laura will completely facilitate it because it's a women's group and I don't qualify. But yeah, Laura just proactively volunteered that. And I'm excited that there's going to be a beautiful container for women to go deep with that. You know, I'm very excited that she has stepped up to serve that way.
Thank you.
Did you have further questions about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Actually, I signed up for it.
Okay, good. Yeah, it'll basically just show up. when it's scheduled. You don't have to sign up in advance or anything. But we'll work out all the details as we go. My conception is on the survey, I've got the email of everyone who responded, and I'll be able to identify the ones who said, yes, I'd like to be in that group. And we'll just email those people specifically and get their date preferences. I'm just thinking out loud here. Maybe I'll just email the whole group and say, if you have interest in this, reply back with, here's another little tiny survey of dates and times that would work best. And see what we'll try to accommodate what the majority will, you know, be most conducive to. So we'll work it out logistically.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I was curious, what was your driver to try ayahuasca and San Pedro and mushrooms? It was to heal.
I was not even aware of it when I moved to Asheville. I was oblivious to all that stuff. And a good friend who was related to my music industry invited me to I tell the story in the book, actually, right at the beginning. And he invited me to a San Pedro ceremony, and I did it. And, you know, I think I said in the book, it blew the hinges off my doors of perception. You know, I had done like 25 years of spiritual practice another way, and this one night blew away, you know, took me deeper than all those 25 years of doing other stuff, you know? So I was just stunned at how much healing I got in a single night. And I said, yeah, this is great. And I had a nice, you know, spiritual experience, which was pretty strong too. I said, yeah, this is juicy. I love this. So at that point, I didn't even know what ayahuasca was. So I did San Pedro for, you know, a while, and then learned about ayahuasca and tried that and really loved that too. And ayahuasca became my main teacher. So once I learned about plant spirits and experienced how potent and helpful it was, then it became a lifestyle, and I've done it ever since. You know, I literally do two ayahuasca ceremonies every month like clockwork. Because I'm fortunate enough to have a shaman who lives right here in Western North Carolina, and I work with them routinely.
Wow. That's great.
It's, you know, ayahuasca has been the most powerful and helpful, you know, thing I do to accelerate my healing and awakening that I've ever done. Nothing compares. So for me, it's the cat's meow. It's not for everybody. If it is conducive to someone and they work well with it, you know, I hear very consistent reports of people who report also similar effects of rapid acceleration of healing and awakening and just all sorts of profound, awesome things happening really fast. I've also known some people who tried it and it just wasn't their thing, and, you know, they weren't interested at all. As I say at the end of the book, the invocations came from ayahuasca, and they offer some of the benefit. You know, when people are in our healing events on Awakening Plus, the kind of healings and awakenings they're experiencing are similar to the kind of things that happen to people in ayahuasca ceremonies. So a little bit of the benefit is there with the invocations, but, you know, there's no real comparison to doing an invocation versus actually doing an ayahuasca ceremony. It's night and day different. But if you're not going to do ayahuasca or you're between ceremonies, then, you know, the invocations are a nice complement to it. Or, you know, instead of if you're just going
to do that. 7 o'clock.
Okay. Is that our answer?
That's good.
Okay. All right. Who else has got a question? Repeats are fine. Everyone's asked at least one. So if you got one, just jump in. Oh, I see Sherry is here. I don't know if that's Sherry or Cherie. How is that pronounced?
Cherie.
Okay. Thanks for joining in. Do you have a question?
I don't.
Okay. Well, just hang out and listen. If a question comes to you and we're still meeting, then just pop in. Oh, Marla just typed that she has to go, and she thanks us. Thank you. You have some great questions. Okay. All right. So, yeah, sure. If you got a question, if one comes to mind, pop it out. We've been going an hour, and And I'm happy to stay as long as there's questions, but you know, we don't have to extend it beyond the point where there's no more questions. So anybody got one? All right, last call for any more questions. Going once. Going twice.
Bye.
All right, that'll do it. So I'm going to close the container. I'm really delighted. We got a lot of great questions for having so few people on the call. So thank each of you for your awesome questions. Let me go ahead and just quickly close the container. Pachama. Let me drink water first. Sorry. Pachama. Mama Kia, we're a coach in tea. Thank you, allies, for supporting us as we had this wonderful Q&A. So grateful to you all. Allies, as we close, go if you must, stay if you will. So grateful for your support. Where would it serve highest good to go? What would it serve highest good to do? What would it serve highest good to communicate and to whom? Thank you. Whew. All right. Thanks to everyone who was here. So grateful to you all. And big blessings to everybody. See you next year.
Bye.
All right. Bye.